good morning, everybody. We welcome you here into this place this morning. We've had a little bit of a head start on you this morning because we've been here for about an hour. So I'm always sort of like aware that when we come into church, we've been here an hour, and everybody else coming into church, you're just coming in. And so we're already being sort of like absorbed in God for an hour before everybody else walks in, which is amazing, really. I just want to welcome everybody and say on this beautiful morning, welcome to Swallowness Baptist Church. And all those people at home that are listening, we welcome you too. So we're going to start off our service a little bit different. This is my last leading before we move away. So I wanted to mix it up a little bit just before we leave, because then you can't tell me off because I'm leaving anyway. So you can't chuck me out and say we don't work here anymore. I just wanted to share some things with you before we start singing. And one of the things that really I've been looking over this week is I've had a real sort of spiritual encounter over this week within myself. And there's been lots and lots of things that have pulled in to that. And I've really felt God speaking to me this week through everything. And one of the things that we always do with the children at school is we always start our collective worship, whether that's in the classroom or whether that is in the hall as a whole school, by lighting a candle, just so that we can really represent God being with us, and just really sort of giving us something to focus and giving the children something to focus on, and so that they can reflect. So I just brought a candle with me because I'm just going to light the candle just to help us, and just to represent that Jesus is with us. We know he's with us, but just give us something to reflect on. So I'm just going to light. So I said I would share something that has happened this week. During the Lent, Rob has been sending out every morning just a short reflection every morning to us, for us to read and pray and reflect on. And just before I've gone into the classroom, I've driven up to work, I've sat in the car, and I've just read those reflections. And they have really, really spoken to me about being a light in the world, just like the candle, being a light in the world. And taking Jesus's love out into the world. And lots of different people. I've even shared some of those reflections with people that I'm at work with, because they've spoken to me and I've thought, this is going to really speak to that person. I felt God saying to me, you need to share this with this person. You need to share this with that person. And so I've done something that I've never done before, which is I've forwarded them on to people. And just sharing those little things in our lives can mean so much. One of the ladies that I shared it with, she sent back and she went, that has just made my day. That has just really spoken to me. And she's a lady that's sitting on the fence. She doesn't know quite what she believes just yet, but she talks to me so much. And I felt that the word that God had sent that morning was for her. On Monday, I went into school, and our ethos statement, every week we have an ethos statement, and every term we have a value, and our value is service this term. And our ethos statement was, can you use your talents to share and help with others? And I was just like, another thing coming in. God, I can feel you speaking to me today. So I shared a story with the children. And when I share a story with the children, I ask them to hold a mirror up in front of them so that that can help them reflect and look at how they do this and how they do this sort of thing, what I'm talking about. So I say to them, hold a mirror. So they get their hands up. They're only 6, 5, and 6 years old. They get their hand up. They look into the mirror, and in their heads, they're seeing themselves. And I told them the story of the three workers. The first worker, who was given the gold coins, went out, invested it, used it, and got double back. I told them about the second worker, who was a little bit more nervous, but went out, shared a bit, and got a bit back. Then I told them about the worker who didn't want to share anything. He was too worried, too anxious, too scared to share. And to he, the thought of losing his master's money scared him and terrified him. So instead of using it, he hid it. He buried it in the ground. And I said to the children, and this is why I'm going to ask you to reflect and think. And I say to the children, you don't have to share it with anyone. This is just for you and just for you and God. And I want you just to think, how are you? Where are you in your journey? Where are you with sharing your light? Are you like the first worker? Every opportunity that you can, you're out there, you're selling God, you're saying, look, I've got this amazing gift. I've got this amazing person I want you to hear about, and getting double back. Are you a little bit more nervous and just saying it to the odd person? You think that, oh, that'll be okay. Or just saying, you know, good morning, God bless. Because you're still blessing God by saying that. You're still using your talents. Are you doing that? Or are you like the third worker, hiding your talents in? Are you holding them in, too scared to share them out? Because then you don't get anything back. So I want you to think about today, about how are you sharing your light in the darkness? How are you using your talents today? How are you? What are you doing? And where are you in those three workers? Which worker are you? I would just like us to bow our heads and just think and just ask God to help you become not that worker that holds it and buries it, not to be that worker that just shares it a little, but to be that worker that goes out and shares it a lot, that gives it away, that becomes the light of the world in this dark world. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can you be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light the lamp and put it under a bowl. Yeah. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that you may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being here with us today. Mm. We thank you that for whatever we've got going on in our lives, you are with us in the small things that we do, in the big things that we do. Mm. Nothing is too small for you. God, you are there in the little things, in the darkness of the night, when the sun rises, when the sun sets. Heavenly Father, you are with us, watching over us, taking care of us.
Jesus, thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. And I'm reminded of Peter and John as they went up to the temple, to the synagogue. The guy was outside, been there for years and years. They couldn't offer him any money. They couldn't give him any clothes even. But what Peter said was, look on me, look on me. And the reflection of Jesus, the love, the hope and the healing were on his face. Lord Jesus, we say this morning that let that be our lot, Lord. Let people see us and let us see people as you see them, Lord, regardless of status or where they are, Lord. Let us see how much you love your people and help us to be able to say, look on me, because we have that relationship with Jesus Christ in his wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, name. Hallelujah.
So as we continue with our worship, I'm going to ask Carol to come up and share the notices with us and how we are being a light within that community, the little things that we are doing in our community.
As Julie said earlier, it's good to be together on this beautiful morning. I hope it's lovely where you are. You guys that are watching on YouTube, it's lovely to have you with us as well. I know a bit of sunshine perhaps doesn't make all things right. That's because we know that there are quite a few people who are really struggling with things at the moment. But these are the little blessings that God gives us, I believe, that helps us just cope with everyday life, really. So thank you, Julie and the team, for the worship so far. And we will be taking communion later. And I think David's speaking. Are you, David? Yeah. Is this here? If you feel like it, love, if you don't. Right. Notices for this coming week, then. Prayer and meditation tomorrow morning via Zoom. That's at 9:30. Tuesday, we've got the art play group in the morning from 10 until 11:30, and then 1 o'clock until 2:30 in the afternoon. And it being the first Tuesday in the month, in March already, mini messy church from 3:30 till 5 o'clock. Thursday, we have the lunch club, as usual, at 12 o'clock down here at church. Next Saturday is the men's breakfast down here at church at 8:30. If you're able to let the guys know whether you're coming or not, that'd be good. But if you just turn up last minute, that's also okay. Sunday, the 24th of March, we have the annual general meeting for church members at 12 p.m. I think David's just got most of the reports in, but he's just wanting to finalise everything. So if you could let him, if you haven't done already, please let him have them in the next couple of days. And all the documents will be sent out in plenty of time. Sunday, the 7th of April, is David and Julie's farewell service, as I've put it down here, as we will be meeting at normal time, and then we'll be having a buffet lunch afterwards, because we always like food on these occasions, don't we? The church will provide the sandwiches, but we would appreciate donations of other bits and pieces, you know, crisps, sausage rolls, cakes, biscuits. If you can let me know if you're able to help within the next couple of weeks, that would be really good. Thank you. We've been discussing about having a prayer and vision service. We've mentioned it a couple of times now. We actually met, the trustees met last Sunday evening, and we have managed to get a date, Sunday the 14th of April. So it will be a time that's dedicated just to worship and prayer in the morning service. There's a little bit different to what we normally do. And so as we try to discern God's plan for our church in the future, there'll be a time for sharing and time for discussions. And then after the service, we would like all church members, if they can, to stay behind for a little while to have a church members meeting. Just not for very long, but just to discuss maybe a couple of things that have arisen from the service. So if you can put that in your diaries, I'll mention it later on, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that we have actually got a date for it. So that's Sunday the 14th. Website, Facebook page are all regularly updated, as I always say, but please do give us a call if you need anything. We're always around. Thank you.
Morning, everybody.
I think our children are going to go on out and learn all of what God wants to say to them this week in their various forms. But as they go out, let's just pray over them, for them, and with them. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of children. We thank you how they bless us, Lord, and how they enrich our lives. Would you just bless them, be an ever real presence with them this morning in all that they do and all that they learn about you. Lord, would you enrich them, strengthen them, and encourage them in their walk of life. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So here we are in our third week of Lent. Believe it or not, third week of Lent. And you'll recall how Rob started us off with how we looked at how Jesus was led into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, was tempted in every way, 40 days, 40 nights, and how he returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Really important. Really important you don't miss that, but that you understand it. Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led out full of the Holy Spirit as he came out from there. Wasn't on his own, God was with him because he is God, but still we're told of how that came about. And you remember last week how Suzanne reminded us of drawing closer to God. Often in this period of Lent, we may do that, sometimes giving something up, but then asked why we do that. Was it for self-discipline purposes or to draw nearer to God? But a reminder to put off our old self and put on the new in what Christ Jesus has brought for us and in what God wants for us, in that transformation and the new person that within he calls us to be. And you should see all this linking through together in this theme as we go through this journey. You'll also remember how we heard from Ephesians 4 that we're to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And that leads us nicely into this week as we look at how God speaks, God calls, and that God is with us. And again, we've heard that this morning already. It never ceases to amaze me where God is at work. And we have got to understand that God is at work in our lives here and now today. We've heard of this already through our prayers, through our words, through what Julie shared in testimony, in light and of the light, that God is with us. If we come here this morning and we're not expecting to encounter God, then why have you come? We should be encountering God on a daily basis in that journey and that walk that we have with him and he with us. Because God speaks to us. We've heard that. God calls us. We've heard that also. And that God is with us here in this place right now. But don't worry that when you walk out of that door, God leaves and stays behind. Far from it, he goes with us. And we'll come to that in a moment. But let's have a look at the passage this morning. It's in Luke's account of the gospel. It's chapter 1 that we're looking at in particular. Page 855, if you're using the Pew Bibles of the normal print. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're starting from. I'll explain why we're reading this. Don't just think it's for Advent. It's not. But you'll see exactly why. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, it says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's just try to consider this incredible moment in what we call our Bibles, in God's Word, in this moment in time, to where an unmarried teenager, a female, is visited by an angel and told that she will carry God himself inside of her and deliver him into the world. Anyone that doesn't understand this must think, what bonkers and ridiculousness is this? But this is how it is. This is how it is. This has got to be the most dramatic and yet shocking message anyone has ever received. Just try and put yourself in Mary's shoes. Whatever she was doing, we don't have the full story, but whatever she was doing, going about business. And the angel of God came to her and said, behold, you will conceive God inside of you. You will name him Jesus. Pardon me, say what? I'm doing what? In the circumstances that she's in the time that she's living in all that's going on, that is the news that God wants to bring. You see, you might, as I say, be wondering why we're looking at this passage and think, actually, it's just for Advent. Well, actually, no, it's not. It's not just for Advent. Because it reminds us, and you be reminded of the passages that we look back at as Jesus as the Son of. And we've heard a few of those names in this passage already this morning. But how that links into God who speaks, God who calls, and God who is with us. See, what we have to understand is that God is wanting to interact with his people. All before this, all before he came to Mary, and all before what we find in the New Testament, we go right back into Old Testament. Even way before that, God is at work. Yes, we see that he not only spoke to leaders and prophets that he chose to work with his plan. But yet here we're seeing God wants to interact with all people, not just certain individuals. And we come to do this through his son Jesus. But how did we exactly get there? Well, this is where we look back and we see that God speaks. You can go right back to the beginning in Genesis for what we have recorded in Genesis 1. And God speaks. The first words that we see that he speaks is, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was. And it was good. Because things that God does are good. He speaks. He spoke the world into motion. And he says, let there be light. This is what we have. This is what we look back at as he created the world, which is, of course, extremely different than what we have today. And from there, as you go forward, we see that he speaks with Adam and then with Eve. He speaks with Cain. He speaks with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, and on and on and on. He spoke with his chosen people all throughout. The question is, I think, that as he spoke with his chosen people and brought about that covenant, that if his people would listen and walk humbly and obediently, then all would be well. And I think what we've got to remember is that although God was speaking then, he still speaks today. And it's important that we understand that, and it begs that question of whether you're listening. Because often people say, I don't hear God. I don't see God. I don't feel God. All those things that we need to see tangible evidence of. But I think it begs the question of whether you're listening. Because God speaks. Are we expectant that God speaks to us? Do we give enough time to the practice of the art of listening and reflecting on God's voice? When we read the Bible, do we do it passively or do we do it prayerfully, understanding that God's word is indeed his word and it's a way that he uses to speak to us? Because each time we may read it, we may see something different and anew. Even though the words don't change, even though God's word is still the same yesterday as it is today and it will be tomorrow. But isn't it remarkable how God speaks to us through it when we read it time and time again? Hopefully on a daily basis, to hear that God is speaking to us, not trying to misuse the words or to control and manipulate, but to actively and directly pursue the will of God as he speaks with us, being in that unique relationship as he guides us on a daily basis. Because when we get into that art form and reflective practice of listening and hearing, then we know that God speaks with us. And yes, I'm sure Mary was alarmed at the sight and the message that God brought. I mean, who wouldn't be? But nonetheless, as it's written in verse 37, it simply says, for no word from God will ever fail. God chose to speak to his people. And that's no different today. He spoke with Mary. I wonder what he's saying to you today. As he speaks, he also calls. God calls. He called Mary to a very important task, to carry Jesus into the world, to love and to nurture him. And her reaction was one of amazing faith, humility and trust. Now, I cannot share or even begin to understand what it's like to bring a child into the world. Just unable to do that. But what I do know and what I can share of what it is like, of a huge responsibility and a joy of bringing that child into the world to love and to nurture and to help grow in faith and to grow in their relationship once they're born through that journey. You see, we have to be ready when God speaks. We have to be ready when he calls us to task. And this is the great news. He doesn't leave us on our own to do that. He doesn't call you into a task and say, now off you go on your own, thanks very much, see how you get on. Because when he speaks, he calls and he sends us, because those that are true followers of Christ, we know that we have him dwelling within us. Testimony of that this morning as we heard, as the light that radiates out. That call to remember that as people looked upon Peter and John, yes, in a sense they saw humanly Peter and John stood there, but also spiritually as they saw the light of Christ shining out. And so it is with us. In that sense that God is with us, that Jesus came and did all that he did. You may recall a time before knowing God, of however you lived. But you'll also recall a time of after, when you called Jesus into your life. And when you must know, because you know, because you know within your heart, that he came to you and he revealed himself to you in whatever way. And you knew that Christ has revealed himself to you. Then you know that he spoke and that he's called. And within that, there's that great work to be done. Because by God's sovereign hand, as you walk humbly and remain obedient to his call, and remember that no word from God will ever fail, then he will continue to speak with you as you go. For all that are truly set free in relationship with Christ, know that you are called. And sometimes that may be somewhere where you least expect it. It may even be to a place or a time that you don't really want to go. But this is God who is calling. This is God who is speaking. This is God who will equip, who will strengthen and encourage. Not that he gives you a tool bag to go off with that, and when you need it, you can open up like Sports Billy bag, for those that can remember Sports Billy, and he used to reach in and grab things that he needed. But the opportunities will present themselves where you will be strengthened and you will be encouraged and you will see that God is with you when you need it at that time. Because it's no good sitting there going, oh God, I wish I was stronger. And then 10 minutes later going, well, I don't feel much stronger. What's going on? God, why aren't you giving me this? Because when he calls, he speaks and he'll prepare and he will equip as you go forward. And those opportunities will come about. Where is God calling you? What is God asking you to do? And in that sense, it needs also testing and prayerful consideration. Actually, is it God that's calling me to do something? We pray about that. We test that. We share that with others and see and be encouraged. Just like Suzanne is looking and testing that she feels God has called her and is speaking to her to go into ministry. And that's been tested with others. From here, within YBA and at some point with the BU. It needs testing. It needs seeing, but being no doubt that God calls and God speaks. Like David Taylor, the testimony that he shares, where he was a pastor at a church for a number of years, and then he came away from there, and then God called him to be church on the street. And you've heard his testimony many times of how God called him to do that. And he was unsure of what to do. But he knew that God was calling him and God was speaking to him. And so he went, and the amazing testimony that he has of not, as he will say, what he does, but what God is able to do through him. Because he walks obediently, because you know that God has spoken and God has called him. And so let's just pause for a moment and let's think. That knowing that God calls us, knowing that he speaks, do we have that same faith as what Mary had when God spoke and called to her with what she needed to do? With that faith and that trust, do we also go forth and live a life that explores the magnitude of the fact that God himself speaks and acts through us, that he calls us to be part of his mission? Not for us to turn around and say, hey, God, I've got this great idea, come and bless and do this. But that he is the one that's calling, he is the one that's speaking, he is the one that's leading, and with that faith and trust, we go and do that to be part of that mission, that we have that part to play. Because if all that is true, then you'll know that God is with us. You'll know that. You'll know that because you know. You may not be able to explain it, but you know within. And that's the most important thing. You know because you know that God is with you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're going through, good or bad. But that God is speaking to you. Are you listening? God is calling you. Are you prepared to do what he's asking? And that may be just to sit still and do nothing, to rest in his presence. Or it may actually be to go into action and do something, but know that he's speaking and he's calling and he'll equip. And that when you go, that he is with you. So when he's calling you to something specific, in whatever sense that might be, he does so with that firm and unfailing promise that whatever we do, wherever we go, he is always with us. This is the one who came to do it all for us and show us that way. With that firm and unfailing promise. And if we're unsure and you need tangible evidence, then I suggest you go to Scripture and you ask God to show you those promises that was written long ago and prophesied and came to reality and truth and still speak today, because you will find it there. Probably, if you like, one of the most significant and important verses that it will show you that is where you'll know in Matthew 28, where Jesus himself says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And at the end of that, he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the promise and assurance that Jesus gave to his disciples then, and that gives to each and every one of us now. That he speaks to us, that he calls us, but that he is always with us. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're going to go into, he is right there with us. In that sense of going and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the exploding verse, should you need assurance and tangible evidence, is where he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And if you think that God isn't with you, then why have you called out to Jesus to come into your life? Why is it that you're sat here today? Why is it that you bother to turn up week after week if you don't believe that God is the one who speaks and calls and that is with you in all situations? Maybe it's confusion. Maybe it's misunderstanding. Maybe it's sitting on a fence. But as we know the term, you only get splinters up your behind if you sit on a fence. Maybe it's time to get off that fence. Maybe it's time to see Jesus for who he is. Not to be confused, not to misunderstand, but be urged to come and know the truth that will indeed set you free. The truth that will bring about a peace and a comfort and an understanding upon your hearts and eradicate all fear and anxiety. For when we walk faithfully and obediently and humbly, then we begin to hear God, we begin to see. Open your eyes, your ears, and your hearts as God speaks to you. What is he saying to you? How is he calling you? And through all of that, be under no doubt whatsoever that he remains with you in this life and into the next. In that glorious moment when we'll stand face to face with Jesus and he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, sit with me and drink from the cup that I have for you." Live a life worthy of that calling, of an attitude of trust and expectancy and excitement that this is not just some mumbo jumbo, but this is the very truth and the word of God who speaks, who calls, and who is with us now and forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may I start by saying thank you for the life of worship and service that you have called us to. And that it's so much greater and fulfilling than any life plan that we may devise for ourselves. And yet still we ask you to fill us with that spiritual peace and confidence, to trust in your calling upon us, to help us to be more diligent listeners, seeking your voice daily and in every area of our lives. Lord, we simply give you all the glory and thank you for the ultimate assurance that whatever we tread, whatever we do, and however faithful or not that we may have been in the past, that we seek your love and might to sustain us in the here and the now, and surely, surely, you will be with us always in the age to come. Lord, we lift our hearts and our minds and our whole being to you this morning and for every day going forward. Speak to us, Lord. Let us listen. Let us hear that calling. And may we go in the strength and the knowledge that you go with us now and for always. Amen.
As we come around the Lord's table, to remember our Lord invites us to gather, to come, all of us who love the Lord Jesus. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Come when you're fearful to be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful to be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all. In John 6, verse 51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever." Let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, I come before you now and confess that you alone are the living God. You alone are worthy of all honour and praise. You set aside your heavenly glory and came into this world as a man to redeem lost sinners from the curse of law. I praise you that if we come to you, we can be forgiven. So as we prepare to partake of the bread and cup, let's examine our hearts in a moment of silence and confess any sins or shortcomings. Lord God, forgive me for my failings, my selfishness, and my lack of love towards others. Cleanse me from all strain of body and soul. Help me to become more like you every day. May this communion meal remind me of your sacrifice on the cross, where you died that I might be forgiven of everything I do wrong. Help me to remember your love and grace, and may I live in a way that brings heaven and earth for those around me. In your precious name I pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 26, the Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Eternal God and Father, we offer you our praise and thanks for the creation of your world in all its richness and glory. We thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, the eternal Word made flesh, sharing in our humanity and revealing your love and compassion, for his ministry in word and action, his lifting up of the lowly and healing of the broken. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we will share. We give you thanks for this bread and wine, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. We thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit, powerfully present in your people and your world today. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ and formed into his body. This we pray in his name, for his sake. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith and thanksgiving. Likewise, he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do in memory of me." We're going to, like we always do, pass around the bread and the wine. Take the bread and eat it and retain the cup. Let us drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you and be thankful. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we just look a bit further afield. Father, we pray for your wider church, that you will protect and strengthen our brothers and sisters. We pray for those living in war-torn countries, that you will raise up peacemakers. For those living in the aftermath of earthquakes or through famine or flood, please provide for their needs and help them to feel you close. We pray for all the organisations who work in these places, that you will protect them, encourage them, and strengthen them as they continue to spread your gospel and to show your compassion to everybody they meet. We also pray for our country and for our immediate area of Swallownest and Aston, that people will realise their need for you in their lives. We pray for the outreach groups that we're involved with, that through these people will see your love and compassion. Give us opportunities and courage to spread your gospel message. We ask all our prayers in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you gave us, the love that you give us each and every day. Lord, help us be light in this community. Help us to spread your love wherever we go, in the little ways and the bigger ways. Lord, remind us it's about everything we do. And everything we do to glorify you. So, Heavenly Father, as we leave this service today, may we take your light and shine out, touching each and every person we meet. Lord, let your light shine. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As we close, let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.